We're going to go back to Tuf Nun. We never finished Siman Tuf Nun. And we're looking on page 69, or Lamed Hey. And we're up to Sif Beis. So Sif Aleph we did about a week ago, or less. And now we're up to Sif Beis. Yisrael Shemakabel, Me'ena Yehudi Beribis Kikros Bechol Shavua. So there's an agreement signed and sealed that the guy will deliver bread and give it as a gift to the Jew on a weekly basis, X number of kikros shel lechem per week. And now we have a serious problem, because on the week of Pesach, obviously the Jew does not want to receive this chametz. So the Mechaber offers the following arrangement as a recommendation. Yomar lo kodem Pesach. The Jew should come over to the guy and tell him before Pesach, Sheyiten lo bashavua shel Pesach kemach omos. So let's take a look right away into the Mishnah Berurah. It gives us a little bit of an insight into what's going on. And we're looking at Sif Katan Gimel. Hatam, what is the motivating factor here in this whole recommendation? Since the guy, in the framework of this agreement, he committed himself to deliver a kikar weekly to the Jew. The very moment that the guy designates this particular kikar on Pesach for the Jew, havi kiu kvar zochabo. As a result of the monetary arrangement, it's as if the Israel now acquires ownership on that kikar. Vavikiu ovar ha-pesach ha-chametz shel Yisrael. It means that now this chametz after Pesach will be also b'chil b'ano under the law of chametz shavu of Pesach. Lahachi tzorech lahasnos imo. Therefore, the Jew has to make a tenai with him that with regard to the goy's obligation, monetary chov of the week of Pesach, because every week there's a new obligation of a kikar. Ein rotzei kikros. The Jew says, I don't want, in this case, the bread themselves, the baked bread. Rak hakemach shalahem. All I want is that you designate flour. Odmei shavyam. Or instead of flour, actual flour, you don't have to deliver the flour, you could convert the flour into a certain market value and you'll owe me that value. O sheyiten lo kikro sheyef aliachar Pesach. Or alternatively, he could tell the guy, designate the flour and you'll bake the flour after Pesach. But during Pesach there won't be any kikros, any breads that were designated for the Jew. Even if the Akum went ahead and he decided to bake the breads on Pesach, lo ichpaslan, it doesn't matter. Why? The Jew has no ownership rights over these kikros. Right now, they belong to the guy. Because the deal was that during Pesach, you won't have to deliver me kikros. So any kikros that you have are not mine.
Erica, what time is it then?
No, not now. I don't mean not now. It's. I put up the shiur in a site that's called YU Torah.
Okay, fine.
Kevin Shehisna Imokach. This is on the second line on in the Mechaber. So what happened was the Jew made a condition with the guy that he should not deliver him any bread over Pesach, and if the breads were baked over Pesach, they don't belong to the Jew, they belong to the guy, and therefore it's mutter. So that was the condition that they stipulated, that the guy should not deliver any bread on Pesach. So the Mechaber says, Kevon shehisna imokach, once they stipulated that condition, afal pi sha'achara Pesach no sein lo kikros chametz. In other words, the guy doesn't deliver these breads on Pesach, but he already designated them on Pesach to pay up his debt. He only delivers them after Pesach. Is nevertheless, Chalipei HaKemach V'Amos Heim V'Shori. the agreement was that the guy will only designate kemach, or the value of the kemach in mos. So the Jew never had any ownership over the kikros, and therefore if the guy decides to take this kemach and bake it as bread and then deliver it to the Israeli after Pesach, it's not chometz shavu'ot Pesach, because the kikros were not owned by the Jew over Pesach, because he stipulated with the guy, all I want is kemach, or alternatively it's value in money, but I don't want any kikros. And therefore when the guy, al das atzmo, he decides that he's going to bake the bread, that in no way will make the Jew the owner of that bread over Pesach. So we're now up to Sif Gimel, which is the third line down from the page in the Mechaber, and he says, Yisrael v'yeinu Yehudi she'esh lem tanur b'shutafus. We have now a partnership over an oven, and there's a Jew and a guy. Omer li'eino Yehudi korma Pesach. He should stipulate to the guy before Pesach. Tol atosh al Pesach ani atol acher kach. Let's make a deal where for the course of this week of Pesach, the tanur, the oven, is in your possession. Because again, in any partnership agreement, we can divide it up. Let's say I could say, I'll take the benefits of Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and you'll take Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So here he's saying, you know what? Let's trade 1 week for the other. For the week of Pesach, it's in your possession. Any breads that you bake, that's your chelik of the tanur. And only after Pesach will I take over the oven for an equivalent amount of time, and for that week after Pesach, I'll produce bread. So Mishneh Berurah adds the following in Sifkat and Hay, which is about 8 lines up from the bottom. He says, "Im lo amar, if the Jew did not make that stipulation, then also lekabel achar Pesach, he would not be allowed to dip into the kikros and say, well, I get 50% of the kikros of Urchelko, v'afilu mos. And again, even if he would only take its value. Now, we're not sure why in the case of value he can't take its value, but let's talk about the case of kikros. So that, let's say during the course of Pesach, they baked 10 kikros a day, so 70 kikros of bread, and now 35 of them belong to the guy, and another 35 belong to the Jew. Now, he already owned those kikros, the Jew, during Pesach. Again, he never had them in his possession.
Right.
But since, by virtue of the fact that this tanur produced these breads, and he is a full-fledged partner, a 50% owner of this tanur, therefore, if he doesn't make any stipulation to the contrary, he owns 50% of the produce of this tanur, which is, in a case that we gave, 35 breads. All that bread has to be burnt at the stake. It has no value. It's chometz shavu'ot Pesach.
But if the guy sold those breads, he sold all 70.
Oh, so then we're going to get to it later. What about the domin? Even the domin we're going to see as a problem.
Right, okay.
That's all in the case of lo hisna imo. In other words, he didn't make this tanai. But if he makes the tanai, he can say to the guy, you know, for that week, the tanur is
you keep it.
It's all yours. You produce whatever you produce, and I'll take the week after. That's the agreement that he can make. Now, if you take a look at the Mishneh Berurah number Vav, he says Vani etol achar kach. In this agreement, he says I'll take the week after Pesach. Yesh me'achronim shekosvu. Again, he quotes a whole list of achronim here in number Ches. It starts with the Taz. But in any event, he says Yesh min achronim shekosvu. The dafka k'sha'omer lo, the stipulation, the condition has to be the following: Va'ani etol achar kach domim neged hakikar shenatalto. In other words, in order to make it absolutely clear that the tanur is not working for him, meaning for the Jew, as a partner in the part owner in the tanur, he's got to be very explicit. He has to say that I'm not going to take my half of the kikros after Pesach, but rather I'm going to take the damim, the value of those kikros, keneged hakikar. It's got to be crystal clear that he's not going to take these kikros. Because even if he wants to pick up the kikros, you know, in the delivery, you know, to to collect the kikros after Pesach, and he doesn't have the kikros on Pesach. Nevertheless, he already became the owner of the kikros on Pesach. And that would make it into Chometz Shavuot of Pesach. The only way he can circumvent this problem is if he says that the kikros that you produce during this week of Pesach, I'm only going to take 50% of its value. That's called etolakach damim keneged hakikros. Zeh nechshav ki omer sheino rotzeh lahaskir tanur lemelacha bePesach. He's not going to have rent, so to speak, a rental agreement that the tanur should work on his behalf during Pesach, rak be'al adamim, not for the kikros, the bread that's being produced by this oven during Pesach, but rather for its value. Oh, another alternative is the Mairi, he can circumvent the problem of Chometz Shavuot Pesach Kisha Omer by saying the following. Here's the second formulation.
But you can't get Hanoah out of Chometz on Pesach. So once you're getting that money, you're getting, even though it's not your Chometz maybe, you're still getting Hanoah from Chometz.
But there was no ownership on the kikros. Everything depends upon whether you own the kikros. That becomes Chometz Shavuot Pesach. So how do you circumvent the problem that since in the context of your partnership you own those kikros, you have to disown your kikros. You have to say, you know what? Anything that I take from this work, from this produce of the week of Pesach on the part of this oven is damin. I'm only going to collect damin. So the kikros are yours. You're going to sell them on the open market and I'm going to take 50% of the profits. That he's allowed to do. Why? Because he didn't own the chametz on Pesach. As long as he doesn't own the chametz on Pesach, then there's no violation. It doesn't become chametz shavuot Pesach. Let's just take a moment and see the alternative. Maybe this will be a little clearer. Kisha Omer lo, he says, Tol ato shavua zu shel Pesach es hatanur. You take over the oven during the course of this week of Pesach. Bein yebo, bein lo yebo. Whether or not you produce bread or don't produce bread, that's up to you. I'll take over the oven either the week before or the week after. So in other words, he prefers the second formulation as a better alternative than the first formulation. Because in the second formulation, what he's saying is that I'm giving up my ownership rights over this oven during that week. I'm going to get ownership rights either the week before, the week after, to make up, to correspond to this week. And once you make that chiluk in zman, and you say this week is yours and not mine, then the oven doesn't produce anything at all on behalf of the Yisrael, because the Yisrael has already stipulated that the oven during this week belongs to the other shutuf, to the guy. Avok sha'omer lo, but if he would say to him, Tol atok kikros mashi'iyeh b'pesach, if on the other hand he says that you'll take the kikros, but I'll take the value or 50% of the value of the kikros, that's not so good. In the proper formulation, the one that we recommend, he says, I don't care whether you work this tanur, you don't work the tanur. I'm willing to give up any benefits, any profits from this tanur over the week, any potential benefits. And, which means that if the guy sits, you know, with his hands folded one over the other and he does nothing with the tanur, that's fine. And we don't want the following formulation. That's a little bit more tricky. If he says, you know what, let the tanur produce kikros during this week, but I'm going to take a value that corresponds to the kikros that would be mine, the 50%. That's already more problematic. He's going to get that value based on the breads that are going to be produced in the oven during Pesach. In other words, if the guy is going to be zochen the tanur, then that's okay. But if the guy is going to produce bread in the tanur, and the Israel is going to be very happy that he is producing bread, because the Israel is going to dip into 50% of the profits when they sell these kikros on the market, then already the money itself is chalipin for the chametz. It's like a replacement for the chametz. So again, even though the Taz seems to accept the first formulation, in which they're not splitting time, but rather they're splitting Domim Keneged Kikar, which sounds like Chalipe Kikar, but he says now that the better alternative and more airtight solution to that problem would be if they split it up in Zman. In which case, the Yisrael says to the guy, during this Zman, the Tanur is in your possession, do whatever you want with it. You want to produce, you don't want to produce, I couldn't care less. But once he says, I'm going to take the Domim of the Kikros, the Kikros themselves are yours, then the Domim become a Chalipin for the Kikros. So it means they are the actual Hanah, the benefit that he's getting from the Kikros. Because now the Jew has vested interest in the guys working the Tanur and producing these Kikros. So then the Taz, his formulation is not... It's not glot, if you can use that term. Now, at the end of this presentation, which is three lines up from the bottom of the page, he says the following. Im kein, if it's a chalipin, then harinenehu michemtzo bepesach, he's already benefiting on Pesach. Why? Because when the guy produces bread in this oven on Pesach, tachas chalko yesh lo leosom kikros, is because of the 50% ownership rights of the Jew in those kikros. Ha'akum nosin lo eschelik ha'kikros sheish lo shuvu le'achraka. There's going to be a swap, a deal. And therefore, yesh osrim. Therefore, there are those who are opposed to it. Okay, let's go on with the Mechaber Nomen Dal. Yisrael shohelo tanur. Here we're turning to page 60 to page 70. We have now again a case where a Jew owns an oven. However, here he's the sole owner of the oven. And ofu bo eino Yehudim chametz bePesach. Now, I'm not sure what's going on here. Normally, if I own an oven and you or a guy in this case is baking the oven, he must have gotten permission from me. But it could be that even if he decided to, so to speak, illegally abscond with my oven and bake breads in my oven, there's a problem over here. Why? Says the Mechaber, afilu mos osu lekabel b'scharo. If the guy is going to pay him rental, let's say I sue this guy in a court of law and I say, wait a minute, you had no right to use my oven, therefore you have to pay me. So then, what happens is the payment that he's collecting, that compensation. The Jew owns the oven. The guy went ahead and used the oven. And now, the guy bakes bread in the oven. And the Jew is going to get some sort of compensation for the use of the oven because of the chametz that was baked in the oven. The guy had no right to bake the breads in the oven. But nevertheless, since the Jew can get compensated for this bread that was baked in the oven, because the guy had no right to use the oven, therefore, also lekabel b'scharo, he's getting really paid for the chametz, so he's benefiting from the chametz. Tahavile mistaker b'yisuriyah no, mistaker is miloshin schar, which means profits, and this is equivalent to making profits from yisuriyah no. So if you take a look at the Mishnah Brura, number Zion, he says, it's really bad if the Jew rents out the oven to a guy and says, you know, I want a certain percentage of the bread that you bake in my oven, you know, pay me domin for that. Then he's getting direct and agreed upon. You know, it was agreed upon from the get-go that he would get this direct benefit from the kikros, from the chametz. But the Mishnah Brura is telling us something even greater of a chiddush. Even if there was no agreed upon arrangement, and the guy simply on his own initiative decided he's going to use this oven, and he's going to produce bread in this oven, if the Jew will get any profits from the bread that was baked in the oven, that's already a violation of Yisuri HaNoah. And that's what the Mechaber says, Havile mistaker b'Yisuri HaNoah. So what is mistaker b'isuri ano? You're making a profit on isuri ano. It could be in one of two situations. In the classic case, mistaker b'isuri ano means that we have a financial agreement, an arrangement that you will pay me for chametz in this case, which is chametz of isuri ano. Well, let's say I say, take my orla and sell it, and I'm gonna make profit on your sale of my orla. Orla is also asmana. That's one case, and then we understand it. But now we're going even a step further. Even if there's no such arrangement, and I'm gonna now sue you for using my oven, and you're gonna pay me up for the kikros that you produced in that oven, once again, you are called a mistake b'isuri ano. You're getting benefit from chametz, and that you're not letting do. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number 10. The Havile Mistaker B'Isurei Hanah. The Osel Chatchila Midrabbanan B'Chol Isurei Hanah Afilu Nosein Lomos Kodem HaPesach or Achra HaPesach. Now at this point, the Mishnah Berurah is standing on the shoulders of the Magen Avraham, the Gra, and others who say that there's no Issa Doraisa in this case because you're not really benefiting from the chametz directly, but as a result of the fact that he uses your oven and he produces chametz, he's going to have to pay you for that. That's the Rabbanon. And once the Rabbanon prohibited this form, this very unique mode of Hana, they went all the way. And they said that even if this arrangement was signed and sealed before Pesach, not only that, even if the money was delivered before Pesach, or shall we say after Pesach, then it's considered as if the, at least on a Drabbana level, the Israel is getting Hanah from the Chametz. So, you know, it's very fascinating because when you think about it, the money was already given to the Israel before Pesach. What benefit is he giving on Pesach? But the answer is that money was given to the Israel in lieu of the fact that the guy is going to produce chametz in the Israel's oven on Pesach. So that money is really for the chametz that's going to be produced, even though it hasn't yet been produced. For lo davi l'sif gimel, the hasam atanur hayashal shutfim, ukshemachalkim bizman, havi lebeis ayatanashal akum l'gamri. He says that why were we more lenient in the case where the Yisrael made an agreement with the guy that he's not taking over any chametz that's produced in the oven during Pesach? And here we're saying that if monies will accrue to the owner of the tanur in lieu of the baking of chametz on the part of a guy during Pesach, that money is awesome. Why? Why are we being so more machmer there? And we're being much more mekil in the case of a tanur shel shutfim. And the answer is because there he made an agreement of machalkim bizman, and basically what he said is that during the week of Pesach, this tanur is yours. So there was no ownership over the tanur on the part of the Jew. Masha'en came here, in contrast, we're talking about a case where the Jew owns the tanur. And any chametz that's produced in the Jew's tanur is going to benefit the owner of the tanur, the Jew, because he's going to get paid because of the use of the tanur to produce chametz. Let's go back to the Mechaber. The Mechaber says the following. V'im kibol kvar hamos mutu lehenos mihem. This is line 2 in the Mechaber. V'im kibol kvar hamos mutu lehenos mihem. So what happens is you got benefit from the chametz, and the Jew therefore is not allowed to get benefit from the chametz. But now what happened is the guy paid him off for that chametz. So he gave him damim. So l'chatchila, you know, we would not allow such an arrangement. But if the arrangement was implemented post facto, b'dieved as we call it, then mutar lehenos mihem. The Israel is allowed to get benefit from that which was profit made from chametz. And that's where the Mishnah Berurah clarifies this, and he says in number Yud, "V'mistaker b'isuri ano eino osu b'dieved mishum makom." In other words, this is not getting direct hana from isuri ano, but rather the isuri ano will generate a chiyuv to pay damim, And that is Asur Mirabbanon. But nevertheless, that Isur only applies Lichatchila. In other words, if he would ask us, come to his Rav, and ask the Rav, is he allowed to enter into this agreement? The Rav would say, no. But B'dieved, the man paskin for himself, we have too many people paskin for themselves, is Eino Asur B'shub Makom. There's a universal rule regarding Isur Yanoah, that if it's only mistaker b'isuri hanoah, he doesn't get direct hanoah from the chefetz of the isura, then b'dieved it's mutter. He doesn't have to take the money and throw it in the rubbish. She'ein ze gufo shel chometz v'lo chalifav. He's not getting money to replace the kikros lechem. Again, he's getting money for the use of the oven, not for the kikros. Rakamos ba'i de gram chametz. Why is the guy able to? Why is he obligated in rental fees because his use of the tanur? That's because he's producing chametz. He's producing kikros. So the mos come through gram chametz. So if, for example, I sell you chametz on Pesach, then I can't use the money that you give me, because that's direct hanoah from the chametz. But if I didn't take hanoah directly from the chametz, it's rather mistaker b'isuri hanoah, which means that I'm not renting out my chametz, I'm renting out my oven. Is lo hichmiru bazeh. We're not going to say that it's osur b'dieved if you get the monies. Dak b'yayin nesach. The only exception to this rule, which is super duper chumra, is yayin nesach mishum chumra d'avodah zorah. With regard to avodah zorah, the Torah says lo yidbok b'cha ba'uma min acherim, is completely out of your realm, and therefore you're not allowed to benefit at all from yayin nesach, which is avodah zorah, even if you're going to benefit from it indirectly. The chols have a kibul mos. I'm a nosno is a kikros mi kikros shofu betanur osu lehenos misem zochem and kvar bepesach bischar tanuro im darko liol los is kikros vabali chomet shal yisrael shavol of a pesach. None of the above applies in a case where the guy who used the Yisrael's tanur presents the Yisrael with payment in the form of kikros. Those the very breads that he, the guy, produced in the oven of the Jew during Pesach, he wants to now deliver those kikros to the Israel. And that's going to be in lieu of payment for the use of the oven. So I don't know what percentage he's going to give, but he'll give him kikros. He's Osulanos, man. And the Isur Hanoah applies in this case too. Why? Because the kikros themselves are being given over to the Yisrael. And those kikros were produced by the oven of Yisrael on Pesach. The Zochavim Kvar B'Pesach B'Skar Tanuro, since the guy owes him rental fees for use of the oven, therefore the Jew gets rights to the kikros. Im darko liol losays kikros, because the whole year round, what form of payment, what medium of payment does the guy use to pay for the use of the tanur? He delivers kikros. It's automatic that the Yisrael was zolche and he acquired ownership over these kikros the very moment they came into being, if they were baked on Yontif itself. Now we're up to Yud Aleph. Now, in order to appreciate Yud Aleph, we're going to have to go through the Mechaber and Sif Hei.
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
Yesh mi shematir lahaskir tanur leini Yehudi al menashe yefa bo matzah. Wow, this is really an interesting loophole, so to speak. Remember, we've been speaking very often about loopholes. Here's another loophole. How could I rent out my oven in a case where the guy is going to use the oven to produce chametz on Pesach? And the answer is, I tell him, I want you to produce matzah. So I put a yarmulke on the head of a guy, so to speak, and I say to him, Zayin Afruma Yid, and I want you to produce matzah. Imagine a guy producing matzah on Pesach. And then the guy, of course, he's not in.
He has to follow all the halachas of Pesach. of producing.
Well, no, this is just a legal fiction. In other words, we know that the guy is gonna make
pizzas or something.
Yeah, he's making pizzas, mamish pizzas, you know. And I don't even know if we're allowed to eat those pizzas even after Pesach. But what did I say to him? I said to him, don't use the oven for chametz. Use it only for matzah. That's why I say that. Put a yarmulke on his head. He becomes the matzah baker in town. But that's not what's going to happen. We all know the truth. The yefah bo chametz, the guy is going to bake full-fledged chametz in this oven. But nevertheless, ein zakuklo. There's no relationship here between the chametz that was produced by the guy and the Jew who owns the oven. Because the Jew said to the guy, specific, I limit you, only produce matzah. The guy went ahead on his own volition, his own decision, he produced chametz. Says the Mishnah Berurah, number Yud Aleph, ein ze mistakir b'Yisuriyah. No, he's not renting out Yisuriyah, no. Shosel Chatchila Kol Ponim, which we said Chatchila is also. Kevin Sha'afim lo aya ofa bo anochri klum gamkein ha'yitzarch lefrolo la Yisrael skaro mishula. In other words, there's a certain rental fee X, and that the guy is going to pay whether or not he bakes bread. Hiskir lo lezman for that week of Pesach, they entered into a schiris agreement. And the guy is going to have to pay with or without producing chametz, even in the absence of producing chametz. He rented it for a week. In Cain, Eina Yisrael Mistake Klum Ameshakam Ofer Chametz. The fact that the guy decided to use this oven for chametz, which was absolutely predictable, but nevertheless, that's not within the purview of the agreement. The agreement was not that you bake chametz in this oven. You have use of the chametz. Use it for matzah. Don't use it for chametz. At the end of the day, the guy used it for chametz. That's not called mistaker v'yisurei anah. Why? Because I'm not getting any payment because of the chametz. Even if there were no chametz produced, he would still get the same amount of money.
That fiction has to be carried to a much further step.
Yeah.
In order to sort of establish this fiction that you're going to bake matzah, you have to kosher that oven before you can even think of it. You can't say to bake matzah and you're not going to kosher the oven.
Well, it depends. When you say kosher the oven, I don't think that's true. I'll tell you why. Because if there's a schiris, if there's a rental agreement, then as far as the ownership over the chametz is concerned, the Jew is out of the picture. Once he rents the oven to a guy, the only problem is if the rental is from producing chametz, then he's mistaker b'Yisuriyah anah. But if the rental is specifically for matzah, not for chametz, and it's not Yisuriyah anah, I don't have to worry about chametz bolua in the walls of the oven because I've already rented the oven to a guy. In other words, if I own an oven,
if you already own the oven and you've rented it to a guy and you already used it, that oven is chametz.
Right.
So now you can't say to him, bake matzahs for me. You say to him,
not bake matzahs for me. I'm sorry, maybe I was...
Bake matzahs.
Bake matzahs. Yeah, but for yourself. You own the matzah.
Yeah, but
the guy owns the matzah.
But he can't bake matzahs, Pesach baking matzahs, without...
No, the word matzah here is a borrowed term. We don't mean matzah in the sense of matzah shmura, or matzah that you're going to use on Pesach. The word matzah means anything that's not chametz.
Okay, fine. All right.
That's what he means by matzah. He can tell him, you know, use it to bake onions or bake potatoes.
Right, exactly. Okay.
The word matzah is it's like a borrowed term. You know?
All right. Fine.
He means anything that's not chametz.
Okay. Fine. Then I'm good.
Yeah. Now, you might have an interesting question. You know, I assume that the mitzvah, the reality that we're talking about, is a person, a Jew, owns an oven and he rents out the oven. He rents it out to goyim. That's how he makes his profit.
Yeah.
If Lu Yitzur, let's say the guy, the Jew wants to use the oven, then he may have serious problems. For example, how does he know that the guy didn't use non-kosher materials like fats?
Well, then he has to kosher it first.
He would have to kosher.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think that's the reality that we're addressing. Right. That's true.
Okay. Well, if we're just using much of the word, you know, don't use it for common things.
It's like, I imagine, you know, there are some people who make a living from, what do they call them, laundromats? You know, they own, you know, It's a big room, a gigantic room, and it has washing machines and dryers, and you put a quarter in. Right. Today it's probably a lot more than a quarter. I'm dating myself. But let's say a Jew owns a chain of that. That's how he makes his parnos. In this case, he owns a chain of ovens, and he rents out the ovens, just like you rent out washing machines. You know, so the Jew doesn't care about the kashrus of the oven. He's giving it over for goyim. Then you can ask what happens if a yid comes along and he says, "Well, I want to rent your oven." So at that point, you're going to have to tell him, "Look, my friend, you're going to have to kashrus the oven. You know, you can't just use the oven like that." Umikomakom says the Mishnah Berurah. This is again on the right column, about seven lines up from the bottom. Lechatchilu tzarch lomar lo sheyefem matzah. Matzah again means non-chametz. The lokein came in sheyadua. I mean, who are you fooling? You know exactly what the guy is. He's not. The guy is not in a matzah baking business. You know, he uses the oven to produce bread for his own family, or he sells it on the market. Is Havikiu Hiskilolafias Chavitz, the Osir. You're not allowed to rent out your oven for the purpose of producing chavitz. That's called Mistake Bisriyano. But here, since he stipulated, I'm telling you, use this oven for matzah, even though he knows full well the guy is going to go ahead and bake chavitz too, but that's outside the purview of this agreement. And now we get up to the Ramah. The Ramah is on the fourth line down from the top. So I can rent you a house, and I know full well that you're going to bring, you're a guy, right? I rent out a house to a guy. I have no doubt that he's going to bring, during the time of the rental of the house, he's going to bring in his chametz, right? He wants to eat chametz, the guy, during he eats his bread.
But really, during the time of that rental, if you rent somebody the apartment, it may be physically yours, the asset, but it's not yours, period. It's theirs during the terms of the rental. And they can do whatever they want in there.
Right. The problem is, if you have shutvis in the oven, and the guy is producing...
Then
the 50% of the breads you own.
Then
you have to make an agreement that, you know, you're taking over the oven for that week. Now here the Mishnah Berurah comments, Lodurbo, four lines up from the bottom, Yud Beis. He says, Hainu afal gav shemaskiro stomo lodurbo hu. Now, in this case, he doesn't have to make any stipulations. He's allowed to just simply rent out his house. And if the, knowing full well the guy is going to bring chametz into that house, but once there's a rental agreement with the guy, it's as if the guy is bringing the chametz into his house, not into my house, even though I'm the Jew that owns the house. Let's say the rental agreement on the house was, I'm going to use the house to store my chametz there, the guy says. That's what I'm using it for. That would already be mistaka v'suyadna, because the money is being paid by the guy for the chametz, meaning for the use of the house for the chametz, the storage of the house, of the chametz in the house. Umashma midibri
achma. But that chametz isn't yours.
Right, but that's called mistaka v'suyadna. I'm not allowed to rent out something to you for the purpose of chametz. Why? Because then every chametz that you produce or you enjoy the benefit of is what you're paying me for. So I'm getting paid for the chametz. So for example, if I were to rent you a house specifically for chametz, let's say I have a massive kitchen with an oven that's like an industrial oven, and I know that there's a guy who loves, you know, to sell on the open market Arnold's bread, and he wants to rent my kitchen because I got this industrial oven which is perfect for his purposes to produce Arnold's bread. That's called mistake b'suyadna. Basically, he's paying me for the production of the kikros. I don't own the kikros. He owns the kikros. I don't even have a dime's worth or a penny's worth of the kikros. I have no partnership. But nevertheless, that's called mistake b'suyadna. So again, that's a case where he rented it specifically for the purpose of using the oven to produce chametz. But in the absence of such a stipulation, if he rents out his house, and he knows full well the guy is going to bring his chametz into the house, but that doesn't matter. That's the chametz of a guy in the house of a guy. You know, it's his house because I rented it out. Umashma mi divrei achronim, the ain less or mishum mistaka b'sura nola dafka heichas shehigi hazman isuro kegon b'pesach o b'erev pesach. Now this quote from the Chok Yaakov and others, it really changes everything that we've been discussing for the last half hour. Because what he's saying now is the whole deal of getting benefit from chametz, and again the chametz belongs to the guy, but you're getting benefit from it because he's paying you for the use of your tanur or for the use of your house specifically for the purpose of producing chametz. That only applies when it's crystal clear that he's going to be producing chametz on Pesach. Why? Because the agreement was signed and sealed on Pesach itself or on Erev Pesach. But let's say a month before Pesach, I'm just dramatizing it. A month before Pesach, right, on Erev Purim, he rents out his house to a guy, and the guy is going to bring in chametz on Pesach. That's not even an issue at all. Even l'chatchila, that's not called mistaka b'Yisrael. Because we don't say that now the agreement is to pay me for chametz that's going to be produced a month down the line. However, he says, despite the Chok Yaakov, yesh machmirim b'zeh afilu tok shloshim kodem haPesach. There are those who want to be more machmir, and even though it's before Pesach, and it could be even as much of a month before Pesach, so it's really far down the line until he's going to be producing chametz, this guy. But nevertheless, if that's the nature of the agreement, and the agreement is you, Mr. Jones, you're going to produce chametz on Pesach a month from now, and you're going to pay me rental for that, that's also, that's already, again, only l'chatchila, but that's called mistaka b'Yisrael.
So if I rent out a place in December, I can't worry about what...
No, I think it means within a month. In other words, if December, I don't think is a problem, but let's say after Shushan Purim, right, this after this Friday, you have to be very careful not to rent out places where the agreement is that the guy is going to pay you for chametz that he's going to either store in that house or produce in that house. You have to be very careful if you want to go with the machmirim. Again, if you want to take the Chok Yaakov, he's going to say that if it's before Erev Pesach, that's already far enough in advance that it's not related to the chametz on Pesach. Sifvav in the Mechaber. Mutal lomali eved the Pesach. So you have a servant. Helech diner zeh uknei vechol. Right, I owe you money, you're working for me, I pay you with money, and go buy food and eat. Afal pishi odea, the Jew knows up front that this Eved of his, this John Paul Jones Eved, loves falafel. He's a falafel lover. Yodea shi yikne chametz.
We actually had that situation in our own house when we had a maid in South Africa, right? I used to tease every year before Pesach, I said, Rosie, you're going to have to eat the rabbi says you have to eat matzah this year. And she told us very clearly, I'm not going to eat that cardboard, right?
Yeah, so I think you once told me that story.
So before Pesach, we gave her money, right? And she went out, and what she bought?
On her own decision, she bought cover.
Pesach, she bought bread.
That's it's her it. Money, it's her decision.
Right?
That's fine. I'm a lo yomer lo, tseve echol v'ani porea. According to this opinion, again, we're going to see another opinion as we go along, you're not allowed to say to this Eved,
I'll reimburse you.
Yeah, go ahead and buy whatever you'll buy. And again, you know very well that he's going to buy chametz. Vani porea, I'm going to pay for that chametz. You know, send me the bill.
Right.
So let's go through the Mishnah Berurah on this. And we're going to start with number Yud Gimel. This is on the top of the left
column. Right.
He says, Le'Eved. Afshem is onos of olav, even though he has an obligation to feed the eved, hoil v'lo omar lo sheyikne chametz. He didn't tell him to go buy chametz. That was the decision of the eved.
Right.
Al pishi odeh sheyikne chametz. Im u'muskar etzel shana lo yochal bebeiso mishum chasho. Now he wants to know the following. Is the guy, this eved, allowed to eat his chametz in your house during Pesach? Now it's one thing if you send him to the local, Italian pizzeria, and he eats his pizza in there, that's one thing. But what happens if he's going to bring this chametz into your house? And he's going to eat the chametz in your house. You're the Jew, he's your servant, maidservant, whatever it is, and the maidservant is going to bring the chametz into the house. So that's called Musker Etzel Lashana, Lo Yochal Bebeso Mishum Chashoda. He says that in this case it's a little bit tricky because of what we call Maris Ayin. Because nobody knows the nature of the agreement between you and the Eved as far as ownership of a room that he lives in. You know, is he just living in your house? Or does he have ownership rights and there's some sort of contractual agreement of Muskar Etzlo? Muskar Etzlo means that as part of the payment for this Eved, in addition to paying him a salary, he has to give him a place to live, a roof over his head.
We had, but it's a slightly, I don't know if it's different or not, we had our house which we lived in. And in the back was a little house,
right,
which she lived in.
Correct.
I owned it, correct, but is it considered...
It's sort of like house? A guest house almost, but here yeah. It's the maidservant's quarters, right.
Right, right.
I remember now a shul in Flatbush, Jimmy, he was a wonderful guy. If he was alive, I'd give him a kiss and a hug. Anyway, he was a black man with beautiful white teeth. I remember Jimmy, he was such a lovely guy, he spoke Yiddish. Anyway, Jimmy had his own quarters in the shul.
Right.
Now, but you and I don't know, and even I can't tell you, as the rabbi's son, I can't tell you if Jimmy had contractual rights over his quarters. Do you follow what I mean?
Right.
Maybe he could even sublet them, or you know, invite his girlfriend. You know, to, I don't know. I don't know what the nature of the agreement is. So therefore, in the eyes of the spectator, it looks very, very fishy over here when he brings his chametz in to those quarters on Pesach. If, on the one hand, you know, if we weren't worried about the spectators, which is called chashada in halach, if we weren't worried about the onlookers, then I know that he has rights to those quarters. That's part of the contractual agreement. That roof over his head is his designated exclusive area. Then there's no problem with his bringing chametz, but the problem is chashada. The person on the outside, he doesn't know what's going on. He sees the guy bringing chametz into the house.
Right.
It looks very suspicious. Maybe that chametz is in the house of the Jew. Because there's no contractual agreement that the guy owns those quarters as a rental agreement. And to have a guy bring chametz into your reshus, that's a serious problem. And if you invite a guy to bring chametz into your reshus, again, the Rishonim, there's a Rashi that seems to indicate that is a violation of ownership of chametz, even though it's not your chametz, but the guy who's invited to bring his chametz into your reshus. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on this because this really derails us from our major focus here, and that is, are you allowed to hire a guy, pay him, and tell him to go buy food, knowing full well that he's going to buy chametz, because that chametz is really payment for his work? And the Mechaber at this point says that you have to be very careful. You have to tell him, go buy food, but buy whatever you want. But if you tell him, buy food, and you know full well he's going to buy chametz, and that chametz now is going to be paid by the Yisrael. In other words, the nature of the agreement is such that, not that I give the guy money up front, here's an open check, you know, here's your 100 shekel salary for today, and the guy decides to buy, you know, pizzeria in the pizzeria. No. What I tell the guy is, bring me back the bill, and I'm going to pay for that bill. So in effect, you're paying for chametz. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah clarifies here in number Tesvav. Lo yomar lo, helich dinar zeh. Take this dinar, go eat in the pizzeria Menachem Vani, vechol, and I'm going to pay for that bill. And why am I paying for that bill? Because my agreement with the maidservant is that I pay for her food. And now I'm basically paying for her food by saying, you go eat in the pizzeria, but bring me back the bill, or credit it to my account. You know, he has an account with the pizzeria that his shiksa worker will always eat pizza and he'll pay for it. Now he has an unbelievable chumrah here in the name of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, that if, let's say, there's a guy, he's not working for you, he has no contractual agreement with you, he says, Yisrael, You're not allowed to tell a guy, go buy chametz on Pesach. The afal gav dat nochri kono sold li atzmo v'lo b'shvil ha-Yisrael. The reason why the guy is buying this chametz is for himself. He's not buying it on your behalf. But kevesh ha-Yisrael nosing lo dinar, since the Yisrael says, here's the money to buy it, go out and buy chametz. Again, only that rare occasion, he sends him to the pizzeria and he says, here's the money to buy chametz. And based on the fact that the Jew gives him a dinar, he hands him over 100 shekels, the Akum goes ahead and buys chametz. It's almost as if this purchase of the chametz is somehow related back to the Yisrael, because the Yisrael is paying the bill. And that looks like the Yisrael is acquiring ownership over chametz. Take your own money, buy chametz, and I might reimburse you for that, but you're buying it with your money. Once you're buying it with my money, it looks like you're buying it on my behalf, and that's already tricky. That's already chashoda.
Instead of running out of balance with the pizza price, you're saying, just buy it, pay for it, and I'll reimburse you.
Right, that's okay. So again, these are all fine differences that might sound irrelevant, but they could very well be relevant. You know, we live in a world where we have goyim working for us, goyim coming in and out, and there's such friendly relationships sometimes with goyim, with our neighbors, that we might actually tell the guy, go buy pizza and bring me back the bill, and then that's going to be a problem. Or give money and say to the guy, go buy pizza. That's a problem. If on the other hand you give the guy money and the guy decides to buy chametz and you want to cover the bill for that and pay him for that, that's something different. That's okay. Now getting back to the Mechaber, he says the following. Avalo yomar lo, on the last line here, tseve echol vani porea. Go and buy chametz. Dafka, when is this prohibited? Dafka says the Mishnah Berurah number Tazayin, Sha'omer lo tseve echol chametz. He specifies chametz. Or yodeh bevadai sheyochal chametz. So why is this a problem? Hatam kevin shenosin lo achenvani lo eved al da sheyifrahu lo achenvani. Ah, I see. In other words, the owner of the pizzeria, right, he knows that when he feeds the Eved a pizza, he's going to get reimbursed by the Jew. And now, here's a chiddush, the Chenvani himself, right, he owns the shop, you know, the food shop, the restaurant, whatever it is, he becomes shlucho. In other words, he's feeding the guy because the Jew is paying him to feed the guy. Since he, the Chenvani, is operating here on behalf of the Yisrael, it's as if the Yisrael is feeding the guy. The Kevin Shemazonos of Olav Ninsa Shenena Minachomets Shemachilo. Wow, this is really complicated. I'm just going to summarize this. You know, if we get the details, fine. If not, let's just go on, because this is really, really what we call Tifa Lumnus. He's saying the following, that what happens is the Chenvani feeds the guy chametz, knowing full well that he's really operating on behalf of the Yisrael. The Yisrael is actually going to foot the bill. Now this becomes Nena Min HaChametz. Why? Because it's an arrangement of mizonos of olav. I have to support the maid servant and pay for her food. That was the nature of the agreement. And now somebody is operating on my behalf by filling fulfilling my requirement of giving food. So instead of having to pay a certain value as part of the salary for this maidservant, instead, I am seeing to it that the Chenvani, as my shliach, will present the maidservant with chametz.
So then, therefore,
that chametz is in place of the money that I would have had to pay to pay the maidservant.
Really, what's really happening is you've given the merchant money. At that moment in time, it's yours.
Right.
And then a few minutes later, he gives it to the guy, but you've had a certain period of time where that chametz was yours.
And when the maidservant receives the mizonos, no, then I don't have to pay. Right. I now become exempt or exonerated from paying.
I've given her that chametz.
Buying the chametz. So that's the benefit I'm getting from the chametz in that now that I've completely relieved myself of the obligation of paying for the food. So again, it seems like, you know, we're really whittling this down, that the only time you can get away with this maidservant eating chametz is if you tell the maidservant, look, here's money, go ahead and buy whatever you want. That's the way you have to do it. He says, Yesh matir shekevet shadayin lo nosan maos l'chenvani, since it wasn't like the money was given to the chenvani up front, but at this point, the chenvani is sort of operating in a closed environment, you know, vis-a-vis the maidservant. Lo chashiv kechemtza. We don't consider this chametz that the chenvani, the owner of this pizza shop is giving. He's not giving the chametz of Yisrael. He's giving his own chametz, his own pizza over to the eved. And now the Jew owes him a chov. He owes him money. But there was never a point in time in which this chametz belonged to the Israel. Let's just see if we have two more minutes, if we can just finish up here with the Sif Vav. He says the following. Elim kein hikdim dinar. Everybody agrees that if the money was given over to the chenvani up front, even before the chametz or the pizza was given to the eved, that's a problem. Or shenasa menasan biyado, or he had some sort of a dealings in which he, you know, if he didn't actually give him the money, but there was an agreement about the money up front, even before the chametz was delivered, and that's going to be a problem. So Belinetta will pick this up next time. And we'll start with number Yud Tess here in the Mishnah Berurah.